Turn with me tonight, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. This text tonight is just a very short piece of scripture, and it's one that perhaps could easily be overlooked. But yet there's a very profound message in this text tonight, praise God. It's a little gem that's hidden amongst the generations as you go through this Bible, of this book of Chronicles. Stand with me, if you would, tonight, praise God, for the reading of the Word. First Chronicles, chapter 4, starting in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Brother Phil, would you pray tonight? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the prayer of Jabez. Praise God. There's not a whole lot of scripture about this fellow. We don't know a whole lot about Jabez. But we do know that he prayed and he got a prayer answered. Amen? Now, I don't know. Am I the only one that's prayed this prayer? How many of you out there has prayed that prayer? Specifically prayed that prayer. The prayer of Jabez. I've prayed it verbatim several times in my life. Because it's kind of a well-rounded scripture. It's kind of a well-rounded prayer. It's one of those little short, covers it all type of things, and so I really love the way that he worded the prayer. It was short, to the point, and very powerful and meaningful. Praise God. And so it deserves some study, some further study this evening. Now listen, this was a prayer that he prayed to push out the borders, so to speak, and how befitting that we are talking tonight so much about expanding, praise God, and about expanding into other ministries, and which is what we're supposed to do. But how befitting that this message at this time, praise God, came about. So listen, you know, when he began to pray, he said, he called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast." He was asking the Lord to enlarge his borders, praise God. And that's exactly what we're doing tonight. And what I've been doing in prayer recently is asking the Lord, Almighty God, Lord, build this house and enlarge our coast, Lord, to reach out. I want to see some far-reaching arms coming from this church. Praise God. I want to see this church as though it were a mighty, gigantic, praise God, an undertaking, and just circling the wings, praise God, around the children of God and gathering them in, praise God, for the rapture, getting them ready to meet Jesus, because he's coming soon. And I want want to, us to be able to reach out. And Jabez could have stayed, and he could have just he could have been happy in the, with the status quo. He could have been like so many other people. How many of you have ever met people that are just have just become complacent? Perhaps you've been that way yourself. I know that I have in my past found myself in a state of complacency where I was not moving and becoming stagnant because I wasn't growing in the Lord. And listen, I want you to understand something today. You're never standing still in Jesus. You're either gaining ground or losing ground. You're not standing still in the Lord. You're gaining with Him or you're losing with Him. To not gain with the Lord is to lose ground with the Lord. And so I want you to understand something tonight. I do not want to be a stagnant church. I want to be a growing church. I want to be a church that's on the move. A church that's reaching out. A church that's making a difference. Praise God. I don't want to just be a church where we come together and say howdy doody and hug each other and tell each other about how things are going in our life. I want to come here and see things happen. Praise God. I want to see souls being saved. I want to see people being reached. I want to see people drawing close to Jesus. I want to be a church on the move. I understand what Jabez meant. Oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed, O Lord. Oh God, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That's the kind of blessing I'm looking for. Oh God, Lord, expand us. Give us an outreach. Give us an outreaching ministry, God. I tell you, we need to start reaching out in every way we can. I want to tell you right now, here in the next week or so, I want to get together. I want to pick a missionary or two, or pick somebody. I want to pick some people we can give to. We need to be reaching out. We need to be reaching out, praise God. It don't matter how much it is, praise God. Listen, it don't matter how much it is. You remember the widow with the two mites, praise God. I want to be giving something. I want to be sowing something God can work with. Listen, you show me a church that does not sow a seed, I'll show you a church that's bound to die. I want to grow. I want to prosper in souls. I'm not looking for Ferraris in the parking lot. But when Jesus looks down at you and you look like a Ferrari to Him, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. When you're looking like a 200-mile-an-hour Christian, praise God, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not looking for somebody with a 12-figure income. Now, that's not to say we're going to run some millionaires off if they start popping into church, because we're going to just welcome them right in here, praise God. Praise God, God can bless the millionaire too. Amen, that's all right. But that's not what I'm after, I tell you right now. I'm after the man's soul, praise God. What him and God do with the rest of it, that's between him and God. But I tell you right now, what's between this pastor and that soul, what that man is, his soul. That's what I'm after. And God can handle the rest of it. God will take care of me, praise God. So I know what Jabez meant. You know, he got to the place where he, just like I did about the baptisms, you know, here a few weeks ago, when I was there a month or two ago, I started praying about that. I understood. You know, I said, Lord, I'm not happy. I'm not happy, Lord. So, I know I've got to wait on you, Lord. I know Isaiah 40:31 says, O God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I know that, God. I know I need to wait on you. But God, you're going to have to throw me a little bone. You're going to have to throw me something, God. I've got to have a little something to keep me going, praise God. Tell you something I've learned about the Lord a long time ago. He gives me just enough failures to keep me humble and just enough successes to keep me going. That's a fact. That's the way I like it. That's the way I like it. I don't want to ever want this flesh rising up trying to take control of nothing, because I ain't in control of nothing. Praise God. God's in control. I work for Him. Praise God. He is the ultimate authority, God. Praise God. Now, hallelujah. When Jabez said, oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed, O Lord, and enlarge my coast. Praise God. I want you to go to another text with me tonight. I want you to go to Isaiah 54. Praise God. Now keep your, well, you don't need to keep your place, because that's a short scripture. You can remember that anyway. But I want you to go to Isaiah 54 with me tonight. Praise God. Remember, I told you earlier we was going to come over here. I'm going to talk to some Gentiles tonight. Is that all right? Praise God. I'm going to talk to a few Gentiles in this house tonight. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. If you got it, say praise God. All right. The Bible says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Praise God. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Oh, this is talking to the Gentile church tonight. This is talking to the Gentiles tonight, praise God. I want you to know, more are the children, praise God, of the desolate than the married wife. Oh, praise God. I want you to know that I believe that the greatest revival part of it's already passed, but I'll tell you, there's a remnant. Oh, there's going to be a revival for the remnant. Praise God. There's going to be a revival for the remnant of God's people. Those that have a hunger. I want to tell you right now. You know what I see happening? You know what I see going on? I see God purifying the ones that's really hungry. I see God sharpening iron with iron. I see God bringing back people that have gotten away from the Lord. I see God bringing people closer to Him than they've ever been before. I see God beginning to say, hey, set that over there. You don't need that any longer. We're going another step. How many of you know the closer you get to God, the lighter you're going to have to travel? Oh, the lighter you're going to have to travel, church. I'll tell you right now, the closer you get to the Lord, praise God. The closer you get to Jesus, the more things that's going to fall off of you, and the more things that you're going to have to put away from you and get on out of the way. I want everything He's got, church. Praise God. Let's look what the Word says. Oh, I love this. Enlarge the places of thy tent. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Church, get ready. Get ready. Praise God, we're fixing to blow apart. He said, enlarge the place of thy tents and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Praise God, spare not. Oh, I'm not sparing God. I'm sparing not, praise God. He said, spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, praise God. Oh, you getting ready to break out on every side. He said, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities. Uh-oh. What's the desolate cities? What's the desolate cities? Well, let's just look over there. Well, I tell you what. Let's look over there at Matthew 5:14. The Bible says, now hold your place right there at 54. I'll just tell you what it says. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. And a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. You're the light of the world. A city. You're a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Praise God. He said He's going to make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Praise God. He's going to cause those ones that don't have Jesus as a habitation, praise God, to be inhabited. Praise God. We're going to reach those that ain't got Jesus with Jesus and get Him inhabited there. Praise God. Listen, you need more than just to know of Jesus. You got to know Jesus. Praise God. You need more than just to hear there's a Jesus. You need to hear Jesus. You need a personal walk with God. Church, I want us to be closer than you've ever been in your entire life. I don't even want there to be a comparison there. I'm telling you, if we will begin to let God have it, let God do with us what He wants to do with us, you just watch and see what God will do. I'm telling you, God is going to light us up. The Bible says, fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither thou be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, praise God, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood, praise God, anymore. for thy maker is thine husband. Praise God, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Praise God, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That's the one I'm serving. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, church, hallelujah. I see this church getting ready to take flight. Praise God, it excites me. You know, some may just go along and comfortable with the status quo, but Jabez wasn't comfortable with the status quo. I'm sorry, I've got to take this coat off. Me and this coat ain't going to get along. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, some people get into these spiritual ruts, and they try to get out so long they just finally just give up and say, forget it. And they get caught in that rut and they don't grow. I wonder if I'm the only one here tonight. Have you ever found yourself caught in a spiritual rut where you just seem like you just wasn't getting anywhere? You know, and there's been times in my walk, and I know God will stop you sometimes. God will stop you sometimes. Be still and know that I'm God. Sit down a minute. You make me nervous. Somebody told me that the other day. Sit down, boy. You make me nervous. I say, pay attention, boy. And I'm talking to him. I'm trying to learn you something. But you know, sometimes Jesus will stop you in your tracks and just say, stop. But there's other times as well that we just seem to catch ourselves and we've gotten in this rut and it just seems like everything we touch, we're not getting anything done. I know if any woman's ever been married in her life, she knows that how to work all day and not get anything done. It's called a husband. And I know sometimes we hinder you ladies. We don't mean it intentionally, but see, y'all don't make us feel too good when y'all are working and we're trying to relax and watch something or trying to relax and not do anything. And y'all are up jumping around and too busy, y'all making us feel guilty. So that's why we try to make y'all sit down. Nevertheless, anyway, if y'all ever say I said that, I'm going to deny it. Anyway. Anyway. But you see, church, sometimes we get in that rut and we're not getting anything done. And so that's what I want to keep us. I want to keep us out of that rut. That's why we need the fellowship of the church. That's why we need to, boy, that's why we need to hear from God on a daily basis. Listen, church, if you're not careful, we'll get off on some wrong track and we'll get stuck down. We'll get bogged down. And I don't want to get bogged down. Praise God. And so that's why we need strong people in the foundation of the church. Why is that? Because when we get a bunch of people coming in here, they're going to find themselves in ruts. And it's up to us to put it in the Holy Ghost four-wheel drive and pull them out of the rut, praise God, and get them back on the path, get them back to the right road, and help them to carry on, praise God. Help them to find the paved highway. Remember, it's straight and narrow, and it's easy to get off that path, but we got to be able to go off-road and get them back on the path, amen? Praise God. We got to be willing to get off the highway and get them, praise God, and get them back on the path. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I preached a sermon not too long ago, and it'll come up again sometime in some form. And it's a message that says, and I tell you right now, there's a lot of things I'm going to ask you, and it's absolutely set up. That's just my nature, so you can expect that from time to time. And if you ever hear me ask you, is everybody comfortable? Be afraid. Be very afraid. It's a setup. And I get them every time. Even after I warn them like that, I'll get them every time because they'll think, oh, what a concerned pastor. He just wants to make sure we're all nice and comfortable. But if y'all realize at the beginning of the service before y'all get here and y'all walk up here and y'all see a first aid kit sitting right here, yeah, lots of Epsom salt for soaking feet and that type of thing, and then it's followed by, is everybody comfortable? Then it's a setup. See, I preach that message and ask everybody, are you comfortable? Because if you're comfortable and there's a place to sit down in this building, you shouldn't be comfortable because we've got a job to do. I guarantee you there's more people going to hell tonight than there's places on this pews right here in this area, praise God. And so I tell you right, there's the one thing about coming to the house of the Lord and serving the Lord, praising God, jumping and shouting, praise God, and having a great time and getting close to the Lord. But if there's not a little part inside of you that's a little uncomfortable, that there's not somebody next to you, and that there's not somebody running to this altar, bowing their face on the floor before God, and that somebody ain't turning their life over to the Lord. Oh, something wrong, church. There ought to be some little hesitation in there. There ought to be a little grain of sand. There ought to be a little irritation there that something that little still small voice saying, you really need to get busy. I want us to be sensitive to the Spirit. I know everyone in this building is willing. I know that because I know who I'm talking to. But I want to help keep us stirred up. That's my job. I don't want you to get so comfortable that you get upset when somebody gets your spot. Come on now, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm talking to some church people here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't y'all look at me like I'm stupid. Y'all's in there going, who's he talking about? By my Lord, it couldn't possibly be me. That's the way it should be, praise God. You know what? Listen, you ought to sit in a different place every time you come in the house just so you don't get too easy, too familiar with being planted in that spot. Because I tell you, I have seen it happen. You see somebody come in 5 minutes late, some new person come in and sit in their spot, and they walk in and go, well, I know they didn't know that was my spot, but you know the pastor was here and he should have stopped that. Now, how am I going to get that person out of my chair?
They should be thankful that there's someone new.
Come on now, it's the truth. Church, it's my job to help keep things stirred up. Keep things alive and keep things moving in the church. You don't really want a dead church, do you? Come on. You don't really want a dead church, do you? I mean, y'all don't want a church that never gets up and shouts, or a church that never has a victory march, or a church that never dances in the Spirit as the Holy Ghost moves them, or a church that never speaks in tongues and has messages as the Holy Ghost moves, praise God, or a church where you get a healing, praise God, or baptizes in Jesus' name, a church where you get something real going on, praise God. If you're going to have that, then there's got to be somebody walking around stirring the fire up, praise God, because if you just let a fire alone and leave it alone long enough, it will go out. But I can tell you this much, I know a lot about fires. You know, you can't hardly burn something green. How many of you know that? You can't hardly start. You pour gas on it, can't get something green to burn. You can get some big old logs and cut them up, and you try to throw them on the fire, and they will not burn. I see people go in there and drill holes in them and all kinds of stuff, try to get them to burn. You know how to get them to burn? Save you gas. Get you a bunch of smaller stuff, pile it up there, and let it burn till it turns to coals. And then you don't have to pour nothing on it. You can take a green tree that big around and slap it on them coals, and them coals will burn it. Those coals will burn it. Because them coals are a whole lot hotter than any other part of that fire. That's the hottest part of the fire. And that's what kind of church I want. I want a coal burning in this church, praise God. I want a bed of coals in this church, praise God, that can set anything to burning that comes in. If you got a fire burning hot enough in you, then somebody sits down next to you and the Holy Ghost will light them up. And they will not be able to be quenched. And I don't want nothing quenched in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in this church. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see a white hot burning ember in this house. Praise God. I want to see 85-year-old women jumping pews in this building. Praise God. I want to see my mama running a trout meet in here. Praise God. I want to see some of you people doing things you never dreamed you could still do. Praise God. I tell you, God can do it. My God can do it. Give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that little old short prayer. Oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed, O Lord, and enlarge my coast. And that Thy hand might be with me. Oh. Church. Oh. Quit trying to do it yourself. Just reach out there. Hold your hand out, brother. Just reach. That's what Jesus is doing. You zip around Him, run all around Him, jumping up and down, jumping over Him, calling around, trying to do it all yourself, and He's sitting there going, just reach out and take Him by the hand. Let Jesus do it. Oh, that Thy hand might be with me. Quit trying to do it on your own. Let God have this. Let Him fight the battles for you. Let Him lead you through. Let God cause you to grow. So people have got it in their mind that if they don't grow on their own, that they're depending too much on God. And I just heard something about that a while ago. Somebody was saying something about praying too much to Jesus. Listen, church, God absolutely wants you to depend on Him because He don't want to have to redo it. And if you do it by yourself, it's a whole lot easier to do it right the first time than to have to come back and tear it all down and put it back on the potter's wheel and remake you another vessel. I tell you right now, the potter's wheel ain't no fun. But I tell you right now, church, if you'll let Him do it right now, you won't have to come back and redo it. Let Him make us again a new vessel and let's get to work. Praise God. Put your hand in His hand. Let Jesus lead you. God has a custom plan just for you, right where you are. God doesn't expect her to be a track star. She's 80. But He expects her to do everything she has the ability to do, and He's got a custom plan made just for her right where she is. Remember, you around her, you're going to hear about it. Praise God. It's the way it's supposed to be. But you know what? The Bible says the beauty of the young man is his strength. Y'all see that?
No.
But the Bible says the glory of the young man is his strength, but the beauty of the old man is the gray head. The gray hair, praise God. It's the gray hair. It's the wisdom, praise God. And that's what, I tell you right now, church, listen, I'd a whole lot sooner give my strength up than wisdom because, listen, strength will only carry you so far, but wisdom will take you home. Wisdom will take you home, praise God. Listen, when strength has carried you as far as you can go, then wisdom takes over, hallelujah, and takes you the rest of the way. Huh? Praise God. You know, I used to be a whole lot stronger and a whole lot better shape than I am now when I was younger. When I was in my 20s and late teens and 20s and all that. But I wouldn't trade it. Well, I wouldn't go back for nothing. Because God has got my eyes He's got my eyes, oh, set upon the mark. Oh, He's got my mind working in a way that it never worked before. Oh, and I wouldn't trade that. Praise God for no amount of strength, no amount of youth and skill. Oh, I tell you, church, right now. Oh, let me tell you something right now. I want to tell you something my granddaddy said. Used to work with him, me and my dad. And if y'all knew my daddy, you knew he was a coffeeholic. If there was ever an absolute coffee addict, my daddy was a coffee junkie, boy. I mean, he knew every coffee shop from here to California and up to the, I don't know, if there was a coffee shop within 1,000 miles, he knew exactly where it was. And me and daddy would be roofing 160 degrees on the roof, boy. I'm packing shingles for him and me both, and grandpa would be up there just... Well, of course, me and Daddy was lightning. Man, I'd be trying to out-nail Daddy, you know, once I got up where I was big enough. And he'd be over letting me. I didn't realize I was set up. He over going, pow, 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 pow. Not even nailing, pow, pow, pow. And I'm going, tu-tacky, tacky, tacky. He's like, pow, pow. Tu-tacky, tacky. I'm really, Daddy's over, pow, pow. How's he doing it? And you could hear Grandpa was like the tortoise in the hare. Grandpa would be on the other side roofing and say, dun dat, dun dat, dun dat, dun dat. You could have set a clock. I mean, he was like a swinging pendulum, buddy. Just steady on. And you know, then Dad would stop and I'd stop. And Dad said, let's go get some coffee, boy. What? I mean, I'm water running off the roof like it's raining up there. It's me sweating. Dad sitting over ain't got a drop of sweat on him. Let's go get some coffee, boy, you know. I'm wore out, you know. I get in, we go get coffee. We come back to the job at the end of the day. Oh, he said, Daddy, you want to go with us? Talking with Grandpa. Grandpa said, no, that's all right, boys. Y'all go ahead. Just bring me a cup back. He'd stay right on a going. Steady. We go drink. I drink down several Cokes. Come back. Boy, we get back to the job site. At the end of the day, Grandpa put on as much or more than every one of us. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe this. I cannot believe it. I said, Grandpa, how do you do this? How do you do this? I'm so much faster than you. I'm out, man. I'm talking to, man, I could nail circles around you, Grandpa. Now, I'm pretty fast. Come on now. He said, well, boy, old age and treachery always defeats youth and skill. And I've never forgot that. And it's true. And so I tell you right now, I'm tickled to death to have some age in this church. I'm tickled to death to have people that's old enough to reach back to some old-time Pentecost. I'm tickled to death to have some people that's got their feet far enough back to be on the rock, praise God. I'm tickled to death to have people that know what it's like to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival break out. Oh, praise God, the old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, has seen blinded eyes healed, praise God, has seen lame walk, hallelujah, has seen miracles take place, praise God, and know how it can really be. And so, man, it don't matter to me what they do in this world. Doesn't matter to me what they do. If ever church in this place turns into something else, I don't care. Does not concern me. We're going that way. We're going that way. We ain't going no other route. We ain't taking no other route. We're not going any other direction. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to add to or take away. We're going to stay straight with the Word of God and let God open the doors for us. Praise God. I don't believe that you got to go in and kick down that devil every time you walk through. When you're in the will of God, it will move. I tell you right now, you just go back and you look at Peter. When the angel of the Lord come got Peter out of the prison, he walked toward the gates. He didn't have to shake them gates and say, get out of the way, open the door, help me out of here. No, they walked toward the gate opened. They didn't have to lock them, unlock them, touch them, do nothing. The gate just opened. When the angel of the Lord's walking before you, when the angel of the Lord's walking before you, I don't care if every devil in hell's got a hold of what you're fixing to approach. They're going to turn loose and move. Because they ain't no match for the God I serve. A lot of people have this vision that the devil's just a little less powerful than God. He is a peon. I mean, he ain't even a gnat compared to an elephant when it comes into comparison with God. God didn't even have to get up off the throne and fight that devil. He just said, go throw him out of here. Was not no great big war and all that kind of stuff. It just happened like that. Pow, get out. I tell you right now, the devil's got some people in my family, maybe some in your families, caught up in some things. And I tell you right now, he's going to turn my family loose. I'm telling you right now, I'm not happy about that. And that devil's going to turn my family loose. My family's coming out of that mess. They're coming back to the truth, praise God. My family's going to make it. You watch what I'm talking about. You just watch what I'm talking about, church. We start lining up with Jesus. The Bible says when you're in His will, when you're walking in His perfect will, everything you touch will prosper. Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Praise God. Everything you touch, every devil you speak to will move. Praise God. Every roadblock you come up to will flee. The mountains will flee before you. Problems that used to be mountains in your path will flee. Praise God. That little old prayer Jabez said, it's a whole lot more to it than you think. You know what rocks God? Somebody's got some vision about them. I got some vision. Well, you got a lot of big ideas. Oh, yes, I do. I wouldn't be in this if I didn't have no big ideas. You know, the situation, church, is very serious. But the saints aren't. Where is that cricket when you need him? I want this church to be serious about soul winning. I want this church to have an absolute sold out attitude toward God. I want this church to just absolutely commit everything to the King and let Him do with this church what others are not allowing Him to do. He's looking for a people. He's looking to enact a move. But so many people are quenching the Spirit. So many people in different ways are hindering the Spirit. They're not letting God move. They're not letting God have His way. They're not turning loose. They're not letting go. They're not giving in. God help us not to be like that. You know, enlarging our coast requires vision. I have a vision for this church, and we are enacting some of those visions. We're starting to enact some of your visions, praise God. God's going to bring them to pass, church. God's going to take your visions and make them a reality. You watch Him work. You watch God move, praise God. You watch God move. Listen, church, I want to tell you right now, listen, you will never walk on the water if you don't get out of the boat. Praise God. How are you going to know whether you can walk or not till you step out of the boat? It's high time we get out of this comfort zone. There's so many people sitting in their little happy-go-lucky comfort zone, and they're so content. I like it right here. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. If I don't move, I won't get hurt. I've mastered this place. So I'm going to be a good little sheep, and I'm going to sit right here. There's only one problem with that, church. If a sheep sits in the right in the same place long enough, you're going to run out of something to eat. You're going to start getting thirsty. God's going to make it that way. And you will get stagnant and die. God makes that hunger because He wants you to get up and go eat. God makes that thirst because He wants you to get out of that comfort zone and go to the watering hole. Praise God. He wants you to get stirred up a little bit so you'll move and do something. Why sit we here until we die? At least let's do something. And so I want to tell you right now, church, some of you have thought in your life, I'm past doing anything. Oh, no, you ain't. Oh, you ain't even begun to move. Praise God. God has still got a plan for everyone in this church. I tell you right now, why sit we here until we die? Some of you some chickens. Don't look at me like that. Scared. Chickens. But I'm going to help you step out on that water. Get out there. Splash. Oh, wow. Hey, I can walk on the water. How about that? Yeah. Now, go to walking. It's a little scary. It can be a little scary stepping out in unknown territory. But you know what? If God be for you, who can be against you? Praise God. You think God don't want you stepping out on what He told you to do? You think God don't want you to try to do something with what you got? I tell you right now, God's expecting it. Praise God. You have been given your talents, and He expects you to take them to the exchangers. Praise God, and make yourself some other talents. So that when He comes back, He will have that which He gave with usury. That's Bible, church. That's Bible. My job as a pastor is not just to preach the Word. It's not just to preach the Bible. But my job is to help you be all you can be. My job is to help you realize, just like y'all are going to help some of these widows realize and how you're going to help some of these other ladies realize, it's my job to get you up and started. It's my job to help you realize that, hey, you ain't over. It's my job to help you realize that, man, what are you talking about? You did all this to get the wisdom you got. Now you want to sit down and die because you ain't got enough energy to climb a tree? Come on, man. That's when you, listen, you just now getting a hold of the gold tried in the fire. Praise God. You have been tried in the fire. Now that you're gold, you want to sit down? No. Now's when you really need to come alive and take that wisdom God's give you through these years and start using it, praise God, and start teaching some of these younger women and men how to be godly people, how to be men and women of God, praise the Lord. This youth in this nation don't have a clue how to be godly men and women. How are they going to know if we don't tell them? How are they going to know about Pentecost if they've been in a Catholic church their whole life? Or if they've just gone and played Catholic church their whole life. I know lots of people that's in the Catholic church, and that's primarily what they do. They play church every little while, leave the bar, go do mass, go back to the bar. Truth's the truth. The truth is the truth. Well, you're talking about churches. No, I ain't. That ain't a church. That's a bunch of people getting together playing church. That ain't a church. That doesn't line up with that Bible right there. And if it don't line up with that Bible, I got no love for it. I have a love for the truth. I have a love for those people, but not what they're following around. I can help get them connected just like you can. I can plug them in. You know, I can turn the power off to that plug right there. I can turn the power off to these plugs. And you can plug something into it, and it ain't going to come on. There's a lot of plugs like that that's disconnected from any power source. Looks just like a power plug. It looks like it ought to have some power if you just plug it. It looks the same as any other plug. But I can plug one in there that'll blow the bulb plumb off the lamp. I can plug them into something, praise God, that'll light that house up. I mean, light their life up, praise God. And that's our job, church, to plug them into the real power source. There's a lot of imitation power sources around. It's a battery source, and the power will run out. But the power I'm talking about, praise God, it will never. The Bible says, if you drink of this water here that I'll give you, you will never thirst again. And that's what our job is, to plug these people into the right power source, praise God. Too many people are plugged into the world. We need to do some wire swapping. We need to slip in under the darkness and take them plugs out and plug them into the real power source. Time's slipping away. Y'all going to start throwing rocks at me in a minute, I know. Church, I tell you right now, I was talking to you earlier tonight, and I know y'all know I love you. I know you do. I really believe that. I believe y'all know that I love you. But I'm really serious about this prayer. I'm really serious. I want y'all to try to be here for prayer every time you can. I know sometimes you can't. It's not. I don't want you to not come because you can't be here for prayer. But I want you here for prayer when you can be here for it. Because, man, I need the prayer. We need the strength in numbers. Everyone counts. Everyone counts. People say, well, it ain't going to matter. Just one. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does matter. Do you think your prayers are not heard? If your prayers weren't heard, you wouldn't be here. If that woman hadn't prayed, I wouldn't be here. If that woman hadn't been here, I wouldn't be here. Oh, but y'all don't matter. I mean, y'all don't matter. Without y'all, I wouldn't be here. So you see, at some point in your life, you had to say yes when everybody else would have said, I got time for that. I'm working all day, come home, cook, clean, I got all this stuff to do. 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a night sleep at the most, be right back up doing it all again. I don't have time for no hour of prayer. I guarantee you every squirrel, every deer, every animal in the half this county heard my mama praying back there in that room. I heard her praying for me so many times, I couldn't even count the times. Oh, don't you ever discredit your prayers. God's listening. And so we need that unity. We need that strength in numbers, praise God. I need that, praise God, too. We need it in the house of God. Amen. Prayer is powerful stuff. We need the power, praise God. You show me much prayer, and I'll show you much power. Little prayer, little power. Praise God. Prayer makes increase possible. When we come together, whatever we do, we need to make prayer a priority. No matter what we're doing, we need to make prayer a priority. Stand with me tonight.